forward to sharing the word with you guys today. One of the things I noticed as I was going through my notes, I realized that there's a lot of scriptures in here. And I was actually reminded of the first time that I heard Pastor Alan Osoup preach, and it was actually at our family camp. I think it was 2011, 2012, one of those years. And I remember listening to Pastor Alan, and I remember thinking, he's just quoting scripture. He's just sharing the word with us. It was like almost everything he said was either reading a scripture or reciting it from memory. And that was the first time I had experienced that. But I actually believe you can't have too much word in a sermon. And so I just encourage you to hang on. And, you know, some of the verses I'm going to read, for example, I might not break that apart or, expound that and talk for 5 or 10 minutes over each verse. But there's a reason that each of these verses are here, right? And so just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And I think you'll see a flow, you'll see a pattern, and we'll believe that together revelation will come. So Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Spirit. As we study your word, as we pull principles from your word, Lord, as we get revelation from your word, Lord, I thank you that it goes deep, Lord. It bypasses our mind and even just hits our spirit directly, Lord, and reveals to us, Lord, the plans, the purposes, and the pursuits that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's turn to Numbers 3, Numbers 3, verses 5 to 13. Numbers 3, the Lord said to Moses, call forward the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron, the priest, to serve as his assistants. They will serve Aaron and the whole community, performing their sacred duties in and around the tabernacle. They will also maintain all the furnishings of the sacred tent, serving in the tabernacle on behalf of all the Israelites. Assign the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They have been given from all the people of Israel to serve as their assistants. Appoint Aaron and his sons to carry out the duties of the priesthood. But any unauthorized person who goes too near the sanctuary must be put to death. So we have, Moses has, God's given Moses instructions to build the tabernacle, right? So the Israelites are traveling through the desert, and God has given Moses really specific instructions on how to build the tabernacle, exactly how to set it up. But then there's people involved as well. And so God's been very specific on who he wants involved. So he has set apart the tribe of Levi. And from the tribe of Levi, we have Aaron, who is the brother of Moses, and then Aaron's sons. And those men were particularly set aside and highlighted to serve as priests in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was God's holy place, a place where his presence would dwell. And really that whole, if you read the book of Numbers and go past there, there's lots of description about how Aaron and his sons were set apart. But really, clan by clan, God went through and he handed special purposes and special things designated for the whole tribe of the Levites. Some would, you know, carry the curtains of the tabernacle, and some would carry the poles, and some would load them onto oxen carts, and then the most holy, the most precious items, they would actually carry on their shoulders. And so there was specific duties, and just God really had a plan on how he wanted this whole thing to work. In Numbers 8, 5 to 10, the Lord says to Moses, now set the Levites apart from the rest of the people of Israel and make them ceremonially clean. Do this by sprinkling them with the water of purification and have them shave their entire body and wash their clothing. Then they will be ceremonially clean. Have them bring a young bull and a grain offering of choice flour moistened with olive oil along with a second young bull for a sin offering. Skip ahead to verse 9. Then assemble the whole community of Israel and present the Levites at the entrance of the tabernacle. When you present the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel must lay their hands on them. Raising his hands, Aaron must then present the Levites to the Lord as a special offering from the people of Israel, thus dedicating them to the Lord's service. And so there was a process that they had to go through where they'd be set apart, where they'd be made clean, where they'd be anointed for service in God's house. And it wasn't just for Aaron and priests. It was for the Levites as well. They were all set apart, and they were appointed for service in the kingdom of God. I thought it was interesting. The Lord had very specific ideas on who he wanted involved. He didn't say to Moses, we need a priest. Go find someone. You know, go around the camp and find someone who you think looks priestly or who would be good at that job. But he told Moses exactly who would be the priest. And then, of course, Aaron's sons and his descendants would serve as priests. And he was very specific about the tribe of Levi, even where they would live, right? So the tabernacle was in the center of the camp, and the Levites were on four sides surrounding the tabernacle, and then the rest of the tribes of Israel were kind of around them, protecting them. But the Levites were the people that were closest to the tabernacle. They were handpicked by God to minister in the tabernacle, but also to protect the tabernacle and to transport it, and just really anything that involved the tabernacle. They were set apart to do that. The King James word for being set apart is the word sanctified. You guys maybe have heard that word before. And so if you have a Bible that has some King James wording in it, you're probably more likely to run into that word sanctified than you are the word set apart. But sanctified, what that word means is set apart for holy use. And so if we're reading the scripture and we see the word sanctified, we can substitute set apart for holy use. Or if we're reading the words set apart, I believe in pretty much every instance, we can say set apart for holy use. So sanctified means devoted for holy use, chosen and set apart to be used in a specific way by the Lord. To help you guys with the idea of sanctification, and maybe some of you are familiar with it, but some of you probably have objects in your house, for example, that are set apart, maybe not for holy use, but they're set apart for a specific use, right? Like, for example, I have a back scratcher. That's my back scratcher. I don't like anyone else using that back scratcher. The kids try and steal it sometimes, right? But it's my back scratcher. I've sanctified it and set it apart for my use, right? Hopefully toothbrushes are sanctified in your house, right? Hopefully you don't have a family toothbrush, right? Hopefully you have your toothbrush, and that's sanctified and set apart for your use. Those of you who are married, have you ever had a situation where you're like in a hotel far apart, and suddenly your wife is using your toothbrush? And you're like, what are you doing? Well, I forgot my toothbrush. That's sanctified. That's my toothbrush. Don't they give those away at the hotel lobby desk? As kids, it was funny, too, because those of you who have parents, you know that you usually probably have a seating arrangement at the... Sorry, those of you parents who have children, there's a specific seating arrangement at the table, right? And the kids like to sit in the same spot over and over again. And my brother and I would sometimes squabble about that, decide just to stir up trouble and sit in someone else's spot, right? And so you get over there and you, like, put a big old lick on the plate or something like that so your brother couldn't sit there. That would just rile him up, right? But that, I mean, those spots were set apart. They're sanctified. There was a specific way it was supposed to be done. So those are some humorous examples. We're not talking about sanctified being holy, but you understand the point. The point is there's objects or people that are set apart and designated to be used in a certain way, and it's not really good when that doesn't happen. You know, when you set aside that item, you have a special purpose for it, and not just anyone can use it. It's devoted to be used in a special way. And that concept of being set apart, being sanctified, it's all through the Bible, right from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You read that word, those words of sanctification are being set apart. Right in the second chapter of Genesis, we read that the seventh day, the Sabbath is set apart. It's set apart and sanctified as a holy day. God's word teaches us that 10% of our income, the tithe, is sanctified and set apart. That's in Leviticus 27:30. It says, "One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy." So that's why we come together and we give our tithes to the Lord, because that 10% of increase that comes into our lives, most of us don't get our increase in the form of grain or fruit or sheep anymore. It's usually a paycheck, deposited into our bank account. I'm kind of glad I don't have to try and liquidate sheep, for working here at the church. I'm happy that I get money. But when this scripture was written, your increase had come a lot of different ways. And so whatever that looked like, you took a tenth and it was sanctified. It was set apart. Paul refers to himself as set apart. This is Romans 1:1. Paul says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, set apart to the gospel of God." Paul recognized, I've been set apart. I've been sanctified. The Lord has chosen me for a special purpose. As Christians, we're actually called to set apart Christ in our hearts. This is 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. If you've ever read that phrase, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, like, what does that mean? How do I sanctify the Lord in my heart? Set apart the Lord in your heart. Give him a special place. Choose him. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And of course, here's the best part. If you're part of the family of God, you are sanctified and you are set apart as well. If you're a Christian today, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you're sanctified and you're set apart. Turn to Romans 12, 1 to 2. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God's asking us to present our bodies because we've been sanctified. And you might read that verse and say, why do I have to present my body? What does that mean? Why has God chosen me? What's this all about? Well, you've been chosen and set apart for special use, just like God chose Aaron and Aaron's sons and the tribe of Levi, and they were set apart and chosen for special use. That also applies to us as believers. Of course, the scripture's in 1 Peter, and we're going to read chapter 2, 9, and 10. But you are a chosen generation. This is speaking to you and I. This is Paul writing to the New Testament church, and we're a part of that church. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now attained mercy. So you're a chosen priesthood. You've been chosen and set apart for holy use, for special use, just like the priests of old. You know, in the old covenant, only Aaron and his descendants could serve as priests, right? And they had to come from the tribe of Levi, and they were the only people who could approach the presence of God. Why is it so important that you and I could serve as priests? Because we've been chosen and set apart, and through Jesus, we can approach the presence of God. We can come into God's presence. We can fellowship and have communion with him. We don't have to go through an intermediate anymore, like a priest, right? You and I are priests, and we have access to the throne room of God. This means that you and I have been handpicked and set apart. Ephesians 1:4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So don't think that, you know, you were chosen and set apart when you were 20 years old or 30 years old or 30, you know, whatever age. God says, even before the world was created, I knew you. I chose you. I set you apart to be a priest in my kingdom before the foundations of the world. Today is, I believe, closing ceremonies for the Olympics. Is that right? I think it probably happens early this morning. And I don't know if some of you are up early watching that, but we might watch it later on the replay. But the Olympics have been going on for 2 weeks, right? And Canada has done really well, actually. We've enjoyed watching some of the competitions. I was talking with Will about this. I said, Will, you watch much Olympics? And he goes, well, he says, not necessarily the stuff I want to watch. Michelle's huge into figure skating. So I understand where William's coming from. He'd probably rather watch snowboarding. So we've been watching it all. We've been watching the snowboarding and the figure skating. We didn't do so well in hockey and curling this time around. It's interesting. If you would ask Canadians, what are your best chances at winning a medal? Most Canadians probably would have said, well, curling for sure. That's just pencil us in for sure, right? And probably hockey as well. But we did really well at the Olympics. But here's the thing. All those countries that are sending athletes to the Olympics, do they just send anyone? Do they just, let's just hold a lottery and we'll just see who's our Olympic team this year. And we get some, small people and some big people and some skinny people and some large people. And that would be kind of interesting. It wouldn't be the same caliber of competition for sure. That is not what happens. Every country that sends athletes to those Olympics wants to do the very best that they can, right? And so those athletes, whether it's through competitions or trials or whatever, they qualify them, and they are the absolute best of the best. They are handpicked and hand-chosen to represent that country in the Olympics, because each country wants to send their very best and do their very best and hopefully do well in Olympic competition. And that's the point I want to really get across to you guys today, is that you are handpicked by God, and through Jesus, you are the best of the best. You're a chosen generation. Through Jesus, you didn't have to qualify. If I try to qualify the Olympics, there's just no way. I'm sure there's maybe in the luge, because I would have lots of momentum or something like that. I don't know. But there is probably not a sport that I could spend 20 or 30 years learning and qualify for the Olympics. But, in Christ, we don't have to qualify, because Jesus has qualified for us. He is our qualification. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 and 4 says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work, your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God." Paul's using this word election. And what happens when there's an election? Someone's chosen. Someone is set apart. And Paul is saying, we're the elect of God. God has elected us. He's set apart. He set us apart. He's handpicked us and chosen us. I think once we have an understanding of this as believers and really, really start to walk and receive that revelation that we've been set apart, we are a chosen nation, we are a royal priesthood, some of that new identity is going to start rubbing off on us. We're going to start thinking a different way. We're going to start seeing life from a different perspective. We're going to start seeing ourselves in a different way. And I believe that we're going to find it easier and easier to walk in our new identity. If you start to think, I'm chosen by God, I'm a royal priesthood, I'm handpicked by God, why wouldn't God want to heal you? Why wouldn't God want to prosper you? Why wouldn't he want to bring you in victory? If he's handpicked you and chosen you, does he want you beat down and broken and depressed and broke and just all those things? Of course not. He's handpicked you. Through Jesus, you're the best of the best. And I believe he wants the best for you. And he wants you to walk in the fullness of his calling. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. I set you apart to be a prophet to the nations." And God was speaking to Jeremiah, but he was speaking to us through Jeremiah, that we've been set apart before he even knew us. We were set apart as ministers to the nations. When Aaron and the priests and the Levites were set apart, that was a new role for them. I don't know what they did before that. Before the tabernacle was built, I don't know. Maybe they were farmers, or maybe they were in the Israeli military, or I don't know what they did. But when this role was chosen for them to be priests and to serve and minister in the tabernacle, that really changed their lives. That really changed their role and what they did every day. Their lives immediately became different from that point on. So in their new role, they ministered daily in the tabernacle. We know that they brought sacrifices on behalf of the people of Israel. And they would offer those burnt offerings, those offerings of incense and everything that they did in the tabernacle. The Levites would do that, and the priests would do that. And through their service, they brought people into right relationship with God. And by being in right relationship with God, those people received the blessing of God, right? So there was no way under the old covenant for people to be in right relationship with God without the ministry of the priests. The priests had to perform the offering on behalf of the people so that relationship would be right between God and man. The priests were very necessary. Now we are the priests, and we can receive the blessing of God through the priesthood of Jesus, right? We're not going to get deep into that, but Jesus is now our high priest. Aaron's no longer our high priest. Jesus is now our high priest, and you and I, again, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you serve as a high priest in the kingdom of God. I'm going to read that verse again from 1 Peter. I'm going to read it in the New Living. I like how it says some of the words. "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result," I want you to listen to this verse, this sentence right here. "As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." I'm going to read that again. "You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you had received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." What is the goodness of God? It's the glory of God. And so, Aaron and his priesthood, they ministered in the temple so that people could experience the glory of God, right? They ushered in the presence of the Lord, and through their service and through their offerings and their sacrifices, they ushered in the glory of God and the presence of God in that tabernacle. When you and I serve as priests, when we get into our new identity as a chosen people as royal priests, as a holy nation, and God's special possession, what happens? We show forth and we usher others into the glory of God. It's the same thing. We show, you know, God's goodness, his power, and his presence is evident in our lives, and it shows through us into the people that are watching and people around us. Remember we talked about last week that the world is watching. The world is watching. And so when we function in our priesthood and in the new role that God has for us, the world takes note. As God's chosen people, we have a new role as well. And our purpose is to show others the goodness of God, the glory of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4, 6-7 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." So the light of God in our hearts reveals the glory of God. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." What is that treasure in earthen vessels? We're the earthen vessels, right? The earthen vessels are our body. That treasure in earthen vessels is the glory of God. When God is in us, his power, his presence, his goodness is in our lives. And so we have that treasure inside of us. And it's not meant to be hidden. It's meant to be revealed to the world so that we can show others the goodness of God. So that light will shine out to the world around us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. It's talking about the glory of God again, right? We're designed to live our lives in such a way that it's clear that that power is not something that we've manufactured, that we've stirred up, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and it's his glory shining through our lives that's evidence to the world of the reality of our Savior. So God's looking for people who are vessels to be full of his glory. We've been talking, the last few weeks about Moses, and Moses has cried to the Lord, "Show me your glory." Why is it important that we experience the glory of God, that we learn how to be filled up with the glory of God, and to go back and get filled again and filled again? Because God's called us to be earthen vessels, but full of the glory of God, spilling over so the world around it can see it, experience it, manifest in our lives. With Aaron and the priests, not only did they have a new role, but they had a new way of living. There was new, we won't go into all the details because there's quite a few chapters that are devoted to those instructions, but they had different, you know, they had to do certain ceremonies to become clean, so they had to wash themselves in a certain way to go serve in the tabernacle. They had to wear certain clothes to serve in the tabernacle. They hit a jackalope with their chariot. If they touched that roadkill, they had to purify themselves. They couldn't touch a dead animal and go serve. There's all these rules about how they would become clean, and they had to follow those rules. There was a new way of living. What would happen if they tried to serve? Well, there would be in this case, in the Old Covenant, there would be disastrous consequences for them. But really what happens is they lost their anointing to serve. They lost their ability to be in God's presence. If they would disqualify themselves, if they wouldn't follow those rules and those instructions, they would disqualify themselves from being in God's presence. They wouldn't be able to experience his anointing, and they wouldn't be able to show God's glory to other people around them because they would be unclean, right? And so they would lose the anointing. Now, we're in a different age, aren't we? We're in the new covenant. We're at a time of grace. But I believe that God also has a way for us to live. He's got lots of direction in his word in the New Testament on how to live a holy life, a life that's pleasing to God. What happens if we stray from those? Those directions, those admonitions, those encouraging ways where we're strongly encouraged to live this way, and we're directed and told, to do certain things, to show love to each other, for example, and let love be your goal and your highest aim. To walk in forgiveness with each other, to show grace for each other. All the directions and even some of the more practical and hands-on aspects in the New Testament. What happens if we choose not to do those things? Well, we're going to miss out on the presence of God. We miss out on the glory of God in our lives, and we miss out on sharing the glory of God with people around us. And it's not a legalism thing. It's just we'll just miss out is what it is. And so we have an opportunity to study God's word and say, okay, if I've been set apart, if I've been chosen, if I've been handpicked by God, and if Aaron and the priests, if that meant they had a new way to live, God, what is my new way to live? What are the new things that you have for me? What are the different things that you want me to do that's going to usher in the glory of God and the presence of God in my life? 2 Corinthians 6:14, and we'll read verse 17 as well, says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." What are we supposed to be separate from? We're supposed to be separate from the world. That means that if we're chosen, if we're set apart, if we're a royal priesthood, and we are, that God's called us to live a different way. Our lives shouldn't look the same. After we come to Christ, we should think differently. We should talk differently. We should act differently. We should speak differently. Our lives should be changed if we're going to live a different way, if we're going to live according to that royal priesthood. God wants you to be set apart, but that means he wants you to leave your old ways of living. When he saved you, you were set apart for his use. God says, there's a scripture that says, you are bought with a price. This is actually in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. "Don't you realize your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God has bought you with a price, and you must honor God with your body." If you have a relationship with Jesus, if you've made him Lord of your life, he's asking you to live set apart, to live in a set apart way. If you have good intentions, if you want to honor the Lord, you'll desire to do that. You'll look for ways, "Lord, reveal to me how I can live set apart. Reveal to me how I can live my life in a way that's devoted to you, that shows your glory, that ushers in your presence in my life, that keeps the anointing in my life and causes me to be filled up again and again and reveal your glory." You know, I believe that God will also reveal his will to us as we go. There's specific direction in Scripture, but there's a lot of areas and times in our life where we're not sure about something, right? And we can't just turn to a Scripture, for example, and get the direct answer to that thing that we're worrying about. Maybe it's, what job should we move to? Or should I buy a different home? Should I rent or should I buy? There's all kinds of questions in life, perhaps in regards to relationships, for example. We'll have all kinds of questions in life, and we can't just turn, to the book of Ephesians and get the answer right there in chapter 3, verse 4, for example. So you're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and God will direct you, and he's going to lead you in the right path. He's going to lead you in his ways. If there's anything, I just encourage you, if there's anything in your life that the Lord's been speaking to you about, it might not even be a sin. It might be just something that he's just kind of giving you a little nudge about. And if that's something that he wants you to let go of in your life, I encourage you, let it go, because it's going to be something, if you hold on to that thing, it's going to be something that's going to block the anointing in your life, and it can block the glory of God being manifested in your life. Whatever it is, if God's been speaking to you about something, just acknowledge it and be willing to make a change. What is that? That is choosing to live set apart. That is choosing to recognize that, "God, you've handpicked me, you've chosen me, and not only do I have a new role and a new identity, but there's a new way of living for me. You have some new ways that you want me to do things, and by your strength, I'm willing to do that." 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God." We have to remember also with holiness that holiness is not a struggle, right? Holy living is not a struggle. Holy living comes through our identity. If we're the righteousness of God in Christ, if we're a new creation and we take on that identity and confess that identity and get into the Word of God and let that identity just permeate our spirit and saturate our mind, we're going to start acting out in that identity. Holiness is a byproduct of righteousness. Holiness is a byproduct of righteousness. As you realize your new righteous identity as a chosen one of God, as set apart by God, a royal priesthood, you're going to start doing things different than the way you used to. Old things are going to fall off. Romans 9:21 says, "When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have a right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into? In the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls, who are destined for destruction. He does this," verse 23, "he does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. Isn't this what we've been talking about? The glory of God shining in our lives. And this is God's plan, and he's prepared us in advance for his glory. And if God's called us, and if God's set us apart, who are we to have really any say about it, right? We're the lump of clay on that spinning wheel. He's Jesus. He's the potter. You know, we're spinning around. He's working off the lumps and the bumps, and he's shaping you and I into something beautiful that gives glory to him. Verse 23, he does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. So that's what I want to encourage you and leave you guys with today, that you've been set apart for holy service. God has chosen you for his glory. What is his glory? It's his manifested goodness, his manifested presence, and his manifested power. You've been set apart, and God has chosen you and I as children of God, as family of God, as co-heirs with him, to manifest his glory. He's not going to manifest it through any other way, but through his people, through his family, through his sons and daughters, through his children, through those that are part of the royal priesthood. We've been chosen, and we're the ones that God's going to reveal his glory through. That verse, Romans 9:23, I thought it was interesting where it says, God does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. As I was reading that verse, I was reminded from Exodus 34 when God passed in front of Moses. And I'm going to read those verses for you. The Lord came down in a cloud, stood there with him. He called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. You know, so the God we serve is a God who, in his mercy and his compassion, he's chosen us. He's brought us from darkness to light. And he's done that so his glory can be revealed in our lives, right? We're the fragile vessels. We're those pieces of clay being worked on that potter's wheel. But God is working on us and shaping us so that his glory is revealed in his lives. So his glory, his manifested presence, power, and goodness is revealed in our lives in great and mighty ways. We're going to move into something different now. I wanted to talk for you guys just a little about being set apart, and I've been looking forward to this next part of the service for a while, but we're going to have the opportunity, now that we've been studying what it means to be set apart and to chosen, we're going to have an opportunity to have a baby dedication here today. And so baby Daniel, he is up. It's going to be his turn just to be dedicated. Mary Snelli, why don't you guys come up? Maybe I'll have you come up and sit right here. I can talk to you a little bit more directly. And then I'm going to have you, Mary says, making his photography arrangements. What we're going to do is, I'm just going to talk for a little bit. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over Danny. You guys are going to have an opportunity to respond. Mary Snelli, we're going to have an opportunity to respond. And then we're going to have a time of prayer. And so those of you who would feel led to come up and join with Mary Snelli when we do that, and just to lay hands on him and declare blessing over him, I encourage you to join us at that time. I think we're waiting for Samia, and there is Danny. All right. Why don't you guys just come and maybe even just stand right here? Hey, buddy. He's looking particularly handsome. All right. Well, a few weeks ago, Mary Snelli asked me to have a baby dedication for Danny, and right away, of course, I was excited to do that. And so this is a family time. This is a moment that we get to spend together. You know, a baby dedication is a time for parents to say, we set apart this child for Jesus, right? He's handpicked, and he's chosen by Jesus, and we choose this child to live for him. Of course, we're familiar with how Jesus was brought by his parents, by Joseph and Mary, to the temple, right? And he dedicated, Jesus was dedicated, I believe, when he was 8 days old at the temple. I'm not going to read that scripture, but do you guys know that Jesus himself did baby dedications? I didn't quite pick this up. But Jesus himself actually did baby dedications. Let's read Mark 10, 13 and 16. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those like this children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Here is the baby dedication right here. Then he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. So this is what we're going to do today is very scriptural. Jesus himself did this. Wouldn't you like to see how those children turned out? I was thinking about that. You know, as young children, they're held in Jesus' arms, and the Holy Son of God puts his hand on them and blesses them. That must have been some anointed and favored lives that those young children lived. But this is a time for us to impart a blessing on Danny, a time for Marius and Nellie to commit to raising Danny in the way of the Lord. And it's an opportunity as well for us as a church family to commit to, you just let him go, he's fine. A time for us as a church family to commit to helping in every way possible to see this young man grow up to serve the Lord with his whole heart. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it." So, Mary Sinelli, I have a charge for you. I'm going to read it through, and then you can answer at the end if you like. Do you commit before God and those gathered here to raise Daniel in the ways of God, introducing him to a real and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ? Will you parent and instruct him with the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the grace of God? And will you choose today to have Daniel set apart as a chosen vessel for the Master's use, ready to show the light of the glory of God? If your answer is yes, just say we will.
We will.
We will.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Psalms 145:4 says, "Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power." We are that next generation. They're the next generation, but those of us gathered here today, we're the next generation as well, right? And so I believe there's also an opportunity and a mandate on us to be involved in Danny's life and to proclaim the goodness of God, to proclaim the glory of God, to proclaim the power of God. We're involved as well as a church family. So I have a charge for you, the Solid Rock Church family. Do you commit before God, before Marius and Nellie, to testify the glory of God to Daniel? Will you show love to him, care and protect him, and do everything in your power to help him grow deep roots in his relationship with Jesus? If you agree, join me in saying, we will. Yeah. We will.
Thank you.
You know, one generation can praise the works of God to another. And so I declare that even right now, as we've joined in agreement, that there's just a presence of God on this little man's life and also on Mary and Ellis' life, just a generational anointing that will be passed down. Psalm 4:3 says, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." Daniel, today you are being set apart to serve God. I declare that you will walk with God, love God, serve God, please God. I declare that you will obey God and God's word. Psalm 35:27 says, "And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." God desires to prosper his servants. He delights in that. And so, Daniel, I declare great abundance over your life. I declare you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Your life will show forth the goodness of God in abundance, and the prosperity and the abundance of God will overtake you in all ways. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Daniel, I declare that your life is known by great peace, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And through every mountain and valley, your mind is stayed on Christ, and the peace of God floods your mind and invades your spirit. Thank you, Lord. John 10:4, "When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And so, Daniel, I declare that you know the voice of the good shepherd, that you will follow the voice of the shepherd, and you will not follow the voice of a stranger. I thank you that you lead and guide this young man, Lord, that he will learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he will be obedient to your every whispered instruction. Thank you, Lord. Romans 5:17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." Daniel, I declare over you today that you will receive God's abundant grace in your life and the gift of righteousness through a relationship with Jesus. You will reign in life. You will reign in life as a king and as a priest in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. I'm just going to hold Daniel now and pray a blessing over him. I invite some of you who want to pray as well just to come up and join. And after I pray, I'm going to hand him back because he's going to try me squirming out of my arms anyway. But if some of you want to share, if God has a scripture or word that you'd like to give, this will be your opportunity to do that as well. Come here, buddy. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this young man. Lord, thank you that he has such a tender heart and a wonderful spirit, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is already so evident on his face, Lord. And so in this day, Lord, in the sight of these witnesses and in your holy presence, we set him apart for your service. We set him apart as a king and as a priest in the kingdom of God. Daniel, you are chosen, handpicked, set apart for service in the kingdom of God. The glory of God is going to be manifest in your life in great ways. Lord, may your life be evidence of God's presence, his power, and his goodness. May people look at you and say, there is a man whose God's hand is on that man's life because something special is going on. There is just something about him that draws others to Jesus. There is something about him that gives great evidence of the reality of Jesus. So I declare the presence of God over your life. I declare, Daniel, that you live life with the power of God, that there is a great peace among you and a great kindness and a great gentleness, but also a great anointing to do powerful works for the kingdom of God, a great anointing to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for this life. We declare protection. We declare that he is hid under the shadow of the Most High, that no weapon formed against him will ever prosper, Lord. Lord, that his many shall be the length of his days, Lord, that you give him a long life, Lord, that you satisfy him with the blessings and the goodness of God. Lord, we thank you for this young man. We declare blessing over him today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'll give him back and you can...
Father, we pray for Mary Sinelli as you now charge them with responsibility and with this destiny of this little one that you've given to them. Father, we are persuaded that as the word of God came to Timothy in times past, saying that he was the son of, I think it was Lois and Eunice, mother and grandmother, and how now the faith that was born in him was of the Holy Spirit, but it had generational roots. Father, we recognize and declare over you, Daniel, that the roots, the spiritual roots are in you are deep. They are generational. They have come from your grandmother and your grandfather.
Yes.
They've come from your mother and your father.
That's right.
And now they are birthed in you as well. Father, we pray a generational blessing over this family, for Marius and Nellie. Father, that they would not be sidetracked, that they would not be dissuaded, that they would not be turned aside, but that they might be not only fervent, but that they might be clear purposeful or intentional in every impartation into this little man's life. Father, that they might choose words, that they might choose activities, that they might choose events, that they might choose commitments, that they would find themselves modeling in word and in deed the kingdom of God. For this little one will not be affected even as much by what is taught as what is modeled. Mm-hmm. And so we pray for Marius and Nellie that the modeling that happens in them will be of the Holy Spirit, that they might model before this little guy passion for the kingdom of God and passion for the ways of God, that they might find, Father, that it might be true over them, of them like us, for all of us, that each generation would be modeled and encouraged and led to go deeper and deeper and deeper than the generation before. Father, that he might be a powerhouse. I pray, Father, over this little one. Father, doubtless he was given the name Daniel, not by chance.
Yeah.
Doubtless mom and dad pondered over that one. But Father, we pray the anointing of Daniel upon Daniel of old upon this little one, that he might be likewise a man mighty. mighty in the Spirit of God, that mighty in word and deed, that he might be even used as a prophet of the Most High to the generation in which he grows up. Father, that the mark of God, the sanctifying presence of God would be strong on his life. Father, that even when he would face kings that would be hostile or lions that would be intended to destroy him, that he might be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that his calling and his mandate are not in vain in the Lord. Yes, in Lord. Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we just thank you today for this family and for baby Danny, Father. We thank you for bringing them to us. We thank you that they are a gift to this house and to our lives, Father. And we just thank you, Father, too, that your word says that you've promised to increase us more and more, us and our children. So we declare that today over Nellie and Marius and over Samaya and Danny and over this baby that's coming. Father God, we thank you that you bring increase in every way to this family.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Father, that they will say, look what the Lord has done over and over and over again. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Daniel, your name is Daniel. A strong and glorious name, Daniel. And you will live up to that name, little fella. And you will be strong. Daniel, we plead the blood of Jesus over you.
Yes.
From the top of that head to the bottom of those feet.
Yes.
And that name of Jesus, that strong name of Jesus, will protect you as you go about your way.
Amen.
So we thank God for you.
Yes, Lord.
We bless you.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank Jesus for you. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
I just have a scripture here as I was praying last night and this morning about this time. I just really felt the story of Moses, how Moses was plucked out of danger when he was a baby. We believe that God protected Danny. And this scripture is when Moses was at the burning bush talking to God. And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent you to me. And I just really believe that the Lord has great things in Daniel's life and that the Lord is going to be with him because he has been chosen and that God is with him. He will protect him. So no need to fear. It's a promise. God has big things for him. So God, we thank you for that. We thank you that that overcoming spirit just rises up in Daniel. We thank you that you lead him and you guide him and that you give peace to his parents in Jesus' name.
Well, thanks, guys. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Here, give me one of these. I love you.
Yeah, thank you.
Danny says, thank you. I'll go back to the lab, Vern. I just had an epiphany while we were praying there. I think it's the reason why we do baby dedications often when children are a little bit younger is they can't squirm so well. When they're 2, 3, 4 months old, they just kind of sit there and take it. But when they're 14 months old or however old he is, it's hard to keep them in one spot, isn't it? Well, we have a couple more things for you guys today. I've been looking forward to this day also for this next thing they're about to do. We've been talking for a while as a leadership team about another project, and we're launching a project today, but we're going to do this a little bit differently. What we're going to do is we're going to have the last Sunday of every month be Project Sunday. So you guys, this is the last Sunday of February, so you know that we'll talk about this the last Sunday of March, and we're going to take up a special offering every time we have a Project Sunday, but you guys can certainly partner with a project that's ongoing other times during the month as well too. But you know, we won't spend a whole lot of time in the in-between weeks just highlighting the project. There might be a slide on the media presentation or something like that, and we'll of course have some information on our website as well. But you're really going to hear about this, and we're going to encourage you and just create some vision for what we believe God is doing just on a monthly basis, the last Sunday of every month. So this is Project Sunday. You didn't know it till now. but now it's Project Sunday. The other thing we're actually going to do, and I was reminded of this actually as my mom was praying for the offering, is we're going to have the second Sunday every month starting in March be Partner Sunday. What does Partner Sunday mean? It's not another offering, but it's an opportunity for us just to raise the profile of our partners, to give you updates. We often get newsletters from our partners. We often get prayer requests from our partners. Those are the people that as a church we're partnered with. And so we want you to know what God's doing in their ministry, the things that they're pressing into, so you know how to give and you know how to pray. And the more you know about our partners, the greater, I believe, your level of faith will be when you're giving, right? Because you're going to know that it's going to great places, and the money that you give this church is growing and accomplishing great things around the world. So second Sunday every month, Partner Sunday, where we're just going to give you an update on one of our partners. We'll feature one of our partners. We'll pray about them, pray a blessing over them. And then the last Sunday every month will be Project Sunday. Let's go ahead and play that video, Mandy. We got a special video put together, so roll with that. It gets better. Cool.